is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Well, it's Easter Sunday. It has come upon us quickly, and I love that. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Man, this is a celebration. Amen. This type of celebration of life is different. This is a celebration of life that was, but this is a celebration of life that has given us life after our death. Amen? We have things that we can hope for and look for. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke. If I can get on the right page. Luke chapter 24. And as you're turning to Luke 24, I want to ask you guys, in this last week, did you reflect at all on what Jesus went through after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem? Did you think at all about our exchange? We had the cross up here, and you guys lifted an edge of the cross to see what the weight of that cross was that Jesus had to carry and that he was later nailed on. And we exchanged that for a palm cross and a little cross necklace, a much lighter weight for us to carry. And we referenced where it says, take up your cross. And he asked us to take up our cross and follow him. And our cross is much lighter than the cross he carried. Did anyone think about that after they walked out of these doors? And I'm telling you, this isn't to beat you up, but I'm telling you, if you didn't think about it, you're missing the boat. And here's why. James chapter 1. Says this in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. That's also our reason for examination before we come before the Lord's table, so that we can see what type of man we are. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if we're just a hearer of the word, we are missing out on God's blessing. We are missing out. We have to be doers. We can't just hear it and choose to do our own thing. We can't be hearers and choose to go live our life the way we want the other 6.5 days of the week. We have to follow his word. But it also says, it's not just being a doer, but it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. So we have to continue in his word. We have to be doers, not just hearers of his word. I don't want us to miss the boat. I don't want us to miss out on God's blessing. And it said, if we do these things, and if we are doers of the word, we will receive his blessing. Don't miss out on that. Take up our cross daily. Do not boast in yourself. Be still and know that he is God. Pray God's will when you pray, not your needs. Watch your tongue. Keep his statutes. Train up a child. Do not worry about tomorrow. Humble yourself. Give God the glory. Do everything as though unto the Lord. I could go on and on and on with what his word says. It's not just listening to it. It's doing something about it. It's being a different person. And that's what he asked us to do. Be different. There's nice people out there, but there's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only way to get into heaven. Man, I read last week that you can put tap shoes on an elephant, but that doesn't mean it can tap dance. You can pretty things up. You didn't think I'd work that into the message, did you, Cindy? I found a way. But it's true. My point being that you can say there's other ways to get into heaven, but his word says, I am the only way. I am the only way. We have to be doers. When we come today to listen to the resurrection message, I want you to not only listen, but think about it throughout the week. I want you to talk to others about it, have discussion about it. And then let us all be doers of His Word. I love that. Well, we pick up the message after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and all the events that had taken place. And Jesus was crucified on the cross. And He said, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." And then He said, "It is finished." And He breathed His last. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this event, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."' And they remembered His word, and then they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 disciples and to all the rest that were with them. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales, stories, make-believe in other words. And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. They went to see Jesus. And the angels appeared and said, "What are you doing here looking for the living in the tomb, the place of dead people?" Basically saying, "He's alive." They were confused when they first got there and saw the stone rolled away. Thought maybe someone had taken their Savior. And then they went and told the others, "Hey, guess what happened? We went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away and Jesus was gone. By the way, some angels appeared to us and they told us, 'Why are you looking for the living among the dead?'" But when the disciples heard this and the others that were with them, they just thought, "This is make-believe. This didn't really happen." Have you ever told anyone about your faith and they say, "That's make-believe. I don't believe that." How can you believe in something you can't see? How can you believe in someone that lets these things happen in the world? And trust me, there's a lot going on in the world right now. There's enough misery for anybody. Across the world, across the country, across the state, and in our own town. But here's what I tell you. Just like this funeral service yesterday, when the husband got up to speak about his wife and said, "I don't say goodbye. I simply say, I'll see you again." That is hope that we can all hang on to, that we can see our loved ones again in the future. And this gospel message is the difference between life and death for them and for us. For our children, and there are a lot of children in here today, and I love it. From the smallest ones to still the new ones to the toddlers. I love it. And God's word says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it." He may be like the family circus and take an extra long journey all the way around. When little PJ is looking for his coat in the family circus, and he goes all through the neighborhood, and then he returns home. I've told you before, I've taken my own journey away from God and returned to Him. Matter of fact, my first time in this church was 24 years ago, Easter Sunday. Why don't we go where our daughter's going to youth group? The power of an invitation to a teenager, to a student, to invite friends here can be the difference between life and death for someone. And friends they've had along the way. And families that are changed forever. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for this church and for our youth group, Ground Zero. Now, after Peter ran and marveled at what was told to him, verse 13 says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened." It says, "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself," this is after his death, after they've laid him in the tomb, after the council member had buried him in a place that he had bought, he appeared himself to them. And I thought, could you imagine that? "And he went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' As though he didn't know. So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him.'" Now, I love this in verse 21 as they're talking to Jesus. Said, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, verse 28 says, "Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." And I thought, would that not be powerful if we were breaking bread together, taking communion, and somebody said, "I saw a glimpse of Jesus Christ. I saw a glimpse, and then he was gone." You know, Josh on Wednesday night was covering the same thing, the Ground Zero group. And he asked them a question. And he said, "Have you ever felt like you were in his presence and didn't know it or didn't recognize him when you stood there?" And I thought, all the time, probably. As we get older, we probably think there's more times than not. The difference is, can we start to recognize when He's there in front of us? When He's there putting up signs for us, do not enter. Don't keep going down this path. Change your ways. I don't know, that kind of sounded like my mom and dad. Maybe it was Jesus telling me, don't keep doing the same thing. But again, I reason and say, but it sounds like mom and dad. Well, it's the Father for sure talking to you. And we have to start recognizing His presence in our life. And we have to start recognizing, what does His Word say about what I'm doing and where I'm going? Who I'm with, who I'm not with. What does His Word say about that? And am I just a hearer saying, well, I didn't want to hear that. That means I've got to change things, and I don't want to change. You're missing His blessings. You're missing opportunity to have a better life. Oh, it doesn't promise you no troubles. Make no mistake about it. But I'm talking about a better life that says, I have hope in how to handle that situation. I have hope in dealing with a family member. I have hope when I lose a loved one. And my hope is in You. And I will be reunited with my family members that are saved and gone on before me. And I have hope in that. Their eyes were opened when they broke bread. Now I love verse 32. It says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? Is there a burning passion in you when you read the Scriptures, when you have discussions about the Bible with other people, with about life and Jesus Christ? Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And this tells us that it wasn't the disciples then that He appeared in front of. It was other people. And then they went back and joined the 11 and those who were, with Him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that that had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. And I thought, man, if we could have that experience, if we could just slow down and sit in His presence for a moment. They've journeyed, they connected with Him. A couple things stood out in this, though. When Jesus was getting ready to go on, it was evening time. And what caught me was their generosity. He said, no, stay with us. Stay with us. He calls us to be a generous people, does He not? Be generous to one another. Be generous to those you know and don't know. Be salt and light to other people. Let them be drawn to You. You are My ambassador, He says. You are the aroma of Christ. Be different than the rest of the world. Be different than the other people. Jesus, it's late. Stay with us. His generosity. They were amazed at what they had heard from Him. Now in verse 36 it says, now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Now He's in with the disciples.
Can you imagine the person you spent the last 3 years with? Going with him, following with him, learning from him, listening to him, trying diligently to do as he did. And even they messed it up sometimes. The little children were coming to them. No, stay away from Jesus. He said, no, don't keep them away from me. Let them come to me. They got upset. One pulled a sword and cut off the guy's ear in the garden. He missed it. By the way, you're going to deny me 3 times. Not me. Those disciples might, but not me, Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, you're going to deny me. Not once, not twice, but 3 times you're going to deny me. What allows us to do this? What allows us to deny our Savior? Fear, weakness, lack of wisdom, any number of things, or a combination of all of them. But we have to grow stronger in our faith. We have to grow stronger in our walk day in and day out. He calls us to that. And he doesn't say it's a life of misery when you follow me. He says, I want you to have joy, and I want you to have it to the full. I want you to have it overflowing. I want you to have joy in your life and hope in your life and peace in your life. And I want you to have rest in your life. He says, I can offer you all of those things. Now Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And remember, Thomas was gone at one point and said, I wasn't there. Oh, we've got this group of people I've been hanging out with for the last couple of years, and they told me they saw it. And Thomas said, not till I see the holes in his hands. I won't believe. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still did not believe for joy and marveled. But I love this part. And he simply said to them, have you any food here? I've been dead 3 days. I'm hungry. Do you have food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now it reminds me of the shepherds that when Jesus was born, it said they went and they saw the Christ child. And they bowed down before him. And then they returned back praising and worshiping him continually. Verse 45 is what I pray for us as we read the scripture, as we go through day in and day out. And it says, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Church, this is tough sometimes. It's tough to read. I can't pronounce half the words in it. I don't know the people's name. And it is tough at times to understand. There's a lot of stuff in here. And I pray that he opens our understanding that we may comprehend the scripture in a manner that allows us to apply it to our lives. But he says this, verse 47, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all nations." Church, we have a mission. We can't come and just be hearers. We have to be doers. We have to tell others about this, about forgiveness of sins and repentance. And that forgiveness of sins is pretty simple. Or is it? Depends on how you look at it. I think it's kind of simple. It wasn't simple for Jesus. You see, he had to carry his cross, and then he had to be nailed to it. He was crucified. He was buried in a tomb. And then he was resurrected, which allows us to have that freedom from sin. If not, the pain and the penalty of our sins would be immense. And that doesn't mean that there's not consequences for our sin, but it does mean that we can be forgiven of our sins. Yeah, but Adam, you see, I've got this neighbor. Adam, I've got this family member. You don't know my spouse, my children, my parents, my coworkers. They're just massive sinners. Let me ask you a question. Were any of those taking followers of Jesus and binding them up and dragging them off to jail and beating them and killing them? Yet, that man in the Bible was forgiven. Oh. And also became one of the greatest witnesses for Jesus Christ. You see, some of the most passionate people out there teaching and preaching Christ, rotten sinners that God got a hold of, and said, "I forgive you of your sins no matter what." But church, please let us not be selfish in the gospel message. They don't deserve to hear it. Everybody deserves to hear this message, the good news of the gospel. Jesus came into the world. He died on a cross, was crucified, dead, and buried, rose again the third day. And because of that, we now have atonement for our sins. But Adam, I preached that message to him a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 weeks ago, 5 years ago. And? I mean, what's your point? So what? Oh, is this a one-time use? Offer them the gospel if they don't take it? Oh, well. Now, sometimes you just have one opportunity with someone. But I'm saying that Jesus has given us all opportunities. Jesus has showed us grace and mercy, and sometimes we didn't even recognize it. We're not aware of it yet. As we mature, as we get discernment, we may have a recollection of that time and say, "Jesus protected me and I never knew it." Listen, I am thankful every one of you are here today, visiting,
coming to join, whatever it is, been members for a long time. Nobody is separated from this opportunity. But if they have it, it is up to them. God will drag nobody across that threshold kicking and screaming. It is up to you to take that opportunity. You know, one of the versions in Matthew, it says when the women came up to the, when they went to the grave, to the tomb, that Jesus met them and said, "Rejoice!" I thought, could you imagine being with Him face to face when you're going to visit Him in the cemetery? Rejoice. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And everything that comes with it. Because God has given us a way out of it. Or a way through it. And sometimes the only way out of it is to go through it. This message of His resurrection is our message of hope for forgiveness of sins. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, "But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is His hope for us, that all should come to repentance. And one of the hardest things we have as human beings is bowing down before Him and simply saying, "God, first of all, God, I give You my life. I give You control of my life. And the second thing is, God, I messed up. I messed up." And sometimes that's followed with, "God, I messed up again. But would You please forgive me? Because I messed up again. God, I don't desire to do that, but I messed up again. And would You please forgive me?" We read last week that if we don't forgive others, He won't forgive us. But we have to forgive others. We have to ask God to forgive us. And Eric said years ago, sometimes we've got to break it down more than that, and we have to forgive ourselves. And that was eye-opening to me. And thank you for that. Church, we have to forgive ourselves. Okay? Let ourselves off the hook every now and then. This gospel message is for everybody. Share it with everybody. If you're here today and you don't know about this, it's for you. It's for you to come up front here. It's for you to go in the back. It's for you to sit where you are and ask God into your life. You see, I love public things. But it's no less effective if you ask Him into your heart right where you sit. And you don't even have to tell anybody about it. But man, I wish you would. I wish you'd let somebody know. But you can do it where you sit. And if you have questions, ask myself, ask Pastor Eric. Ask someone you know and trust. Tell me about this. Help me understand, what do I have to do? And it's simple. You see, Jesus Christ is alive and well. We're going to do a baptism here in just a minute. And then we're going to have a wonderful meal. And we're going to be able to sit with all you beautiful people and just have conversation and enjoy company. It doesn't have to be church talk.
just getting to know you and just saying hello. So I hope if you're visiting with us that you would stay and have a meal with us afterwards. And I pray that this time today and this message today got somewhere in your heart and somewhere in your mind. And that you become a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. It starts with hearing the message, but be a doer of his word. And we're going to pray for the meal as I pray now as well. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message of your resurrection today. Lord, I ask you just to be in the presence of this church body today. And any of those that have questions or have a decision, Lord, that you might draw them to a decision. God, that you may draw them to a changed life forever. In a life that can impact people for generations to come. God, I pray today that nobody leaves here unchanged. And if there are questions, Lord, that they would come forward, they would come to us later in private. That it's as simple as asking you to be Savior of their life, Lord of their lives, today to spend eternity in heaven with you. Now you do ask for a changed life after that, but that is the first step, and that is the only thing that allows them into heaven, is asking you into their life and giving you ownership of their life. Lord, I ask your blessings today in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.